Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon from our central campus.
That was great, wasn't it? That was great. Thank y'all so much for helping us. Appreciate you, David. That was a great song you did for us. So my name is Gary Bowles, Pastor Gary Bowles, and I've served in the Northwest Texas Conference, which is now kind of a different conference for those of you that are Methodists, for 34 or 5 years in 6 or 7 different places, and told the Lord I was done, and the Lord said, you ain't. So you know how that works. Someone once said, if you ain't dead, you ain't done, and I think that's kind of where we ended up. So I want to share just a little bit briefly and try to be as concise as I can. So I have my wife here with me. Her name is Julie. Julie is an educational diagnostician, and some of you in the Lubbock ISD school system have run across Julie. We have 3 daughters. My oldest daughter is Jessica. She's turns 35 this year, so our kids are 2 years apart, 35, 33, and then 31, if I did the math correctly. So Jessica's the oldest. The second one is Emily, and she lives close to Jessica in Houston and has 2 children, Aiden and Darian. They're 11 or 12. She adopted them, 3 years ago? Does that sound about right? African-American boys that she adopted from the inner city of Dallas and is caring for them. And then my youngest daughter is Emily, and she lives in Lubbock. So we have 2 daughters named Emily. We tried to mess up everything, and the insurance folks really get messed up when you start naming your kids the same name. But Julie and I are in our second marriage, and so Emily was her daughter, and Emily and Jessica were my daughters. And so I grew up in the city of Houston. I lived there until I was 25 or 6 and ended up in Amarillo, Texas in 1987. That's how I got to this part of the world. And I met a guy named Andy Hurst playing basketball. Now, he's not here today. He won't tell you this, but Andy shaves downwards. I don't know if y'all have noticed or not. He has so much hair on his body that it just grows out of his shirt. And we were playing basketball one day, and he goes, I'm on the skins team. And I said, no, you ain't, brother. You can't take your shirt off, man. We're getting wet over here. And anyway, we played basketball together, and I first met Andy in 1987 on the walk to Emmaus, and from there felt a call into ministry and have been serving in the Methodist Church for that length of time. And in November, I took the big step of retiring. Yes, I'm a lot younger than I look. But I was on top of the ladder changing the air filters at the house when Andy called and said, what are you doing? And I said, nothing. He goes, we need to eat lunch. And I said, why? And he said, you're not finished. And I said, yes, I'm finished. And he said, the question you have to answer is, what is God going to do in your life right now? And I said, I don't know. And he goes, well, I've got a plan. So, you know how that goes. So anyways, we're glad to be here this morning. I'm serving mainly as the interim out at The Way. All of y'all know Matt and their family and know that they've transitioned to Canyon. And so Julie and I are kind of managing that out there. But in the process, we're trying to do this team teaching where we rotate and we write our messages together. So if I say something that's not right, it's Andy's fault. I just got it from him. He has all the content. I just do the delivery. So anyways, we're in the middle of a series that talks about how to thrive in 25. How to thrive in 25. And with that, I'm going to go ahead and read the scripture this morning from Hebrews. And if you will stand at this time as we read the scripture. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek after him. the reading of God's word, and all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. So, as we begin the year 2025, I got to thinking, I wonder what Google says are some of our favorite myths or favorite things that we put our trust in. And I've got a few pictures to show you, some things I came across. The first one is, oftentimes, they say, knock on wood. You've ever seen somebody say that? My dad used to do it like this, and I didn't quite get what he was after, but I do now. He said, knock on wood. Another one is, what's the next one? Throwing salt over your shoulder. What is that supposed to do? Does anybody know?
Keep you from dying on the spot.
Keep you from dying on the spot, right? Right? Well, it's interesting. If you've ever studied art, you ever heard of a guy named, let's see, Leonardo da Vinci? Da Vinci. What did he paint? Does anybody remember? What's one of the most famous paintings he had? What was it? Mona Lisa. That's one. I'm not sure what the one I'm after. It's called The Last Supper. The Last Supper. And if you'll go Google this, you can do it right now. That's okay. But if you'll Google that, you'll notice there's a salt shaker on the table that has been knocked over. Guess who knocked it over? Who would be at the Last Supper that would have trouble with the salt in their life? Let's see, his name was Judas. In fact, in those days, they believed that salt often, if it got into your life, it was like sin being found in there. We found it interesting that when someone got paid, do you know how they got paid? In salt. You've heard them say, well, he ain't worth his salt. You ever heard that? He ain't worth what he's getting paid. We get our word salary from the word salt. That's how they got paid. And so he said he ain't worth his salt. Next, another picture I have. Can you tell what that lady's doing wrong? Walking under a ladder. Yes, yes, that's not good. That's not good. What's another one? Let's see. How many years bad luck? Seven. How many of y'all, anybody in the 7 years? Need to pray for you. Got something in the back? And then the last one, this was my favorite. This one right here. Sorry, Mom. What did I do? Break your mom's back. Yes, that was me. This came to light a few days ago because my mom just had her birthday. Well, she's passed away, and, you know, we remember her birthday. I think, how was 82, Julie? Is that right, 82? My mother and Julie's mother, you know, they didn't know each other as little kids because they live 500 miles apart, but they were born like 7 or 8 days apart, same year and everything. And so when we met and we got to know each other, I'm like, that's my mom's birthday, right? She goes, well, that's my mom's birthday. So, well, who are we going to celebrate first, you know, kind of thing. So, all right, so the idea is with this series is you've already heard a sermon from Andy about obedience, and this one is about have a little faith. Have a little faith. Because we're after this idea that living our life is more than just going through the motions, but that God really wants so much more for us in our lives. Amen? It's not about coasting. Yeah, my name's right there. Yes. How many of y'all like to coast? Come on, get your hand up. Yeah. Where are we going to eat today? What are we going to eat tonight? What are we going to do tomorrow? Sleep. Coasting. We're coasting. But God is saying there's so much more than that. And because of our faith, God is challenging us to step out of the boat and to begin to have a little faith. We had a chance to visit Israel, and we actually spent some time on the Sea of Galilee. And most of the time, the story says Peter did what with his foot? He stepped out of the boat. For us, oftentimes it's like this. Whoa, that water's cold. I think I'm just going to sit right here. Or the famous words from the man at the church that says, we're right behind you all the way. We're right behind you all the way. Just go ahead. Just go ahead. But instead, it's about how can we have this incredible faith? How can we thrive in 2025? So this morning, I'm one of those folks, I like to keep it simple because it takes simplicity to get between my ears. So this morning, we just got 3 points. All right? Here they are. Ta-da-da! Number one, we're going to talk about that faith is an assurance of things hoped for, of things we can't see. Secondly, faith is also pleasing to God. I should have put the word God on there. But faith is pleasing to God. And then thirdly, faith leads to what? action. Anybody ever have any inaction? Any inaction? Yeah, yeah. So, but it's the opposite of that of what God's calling us to be. Not be stagnant or inactive. It's faith is leads to action. This whole section right here in Hebrews is kind of like a hall of fame when he talks about, you know, he talks about Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham. And this area of Hebrews is lifting up all of those people. It's reminding them. You know, when you look back and you see these folks, can you have a little bit of faith like them? Because if you just have just a little bit, it can go a long ways. You know, that little bit of faith can tell this mountain to jump into this ocean. Or the faith the size of a mustard seed. It doesn't take much. Now, we're not sure who actually wrote the book of Hebrews. A lot of people lean and say, well, you know, Paul had a hand in it. But then there are others who totally disagree with that. But the one thing we did quite figure out is when the book was written. It's somewhere around 64, 65 A.D. Any of y'all remember that rain that year, 65 A.D.? Come on now. If you're farmers in West Texas, you remember what, 42? I mean, the number just goes way back. But what they know is it happened before 70 A.D., which was the destruction of the temple in 70 A.D. If you've had a chance to watch TV, I'm pretty sure you've seen this. It's called The Wailing Wall, where they take the little piece of paper and they write it on there and they go up there and they stick it in the wall and they say their prayer. That is one-fourth. That wall is one of the other. There's three more that were there in 70 A.D. And it is about, let me think, 80 feet, 90 feet to the top. And I think it's some 10 or 15 feet wide, you know. And it's just amazing how large that wall is. And it was just, that's just one part that you see. When we went to the Wailing Wall, there's a few things we discovered about that. Julie and I both went, and I said, you know, when we get back together, let's talk about our experiences, because they have the women go to one side and the men go to the other side. I don't know if you know that, but they do. You literally, you walk in, you have to put this thing on your head because covering your head allows you to be in God's presence, which is fine. And then they go, okay, the women go over there. And so the women's part was about that wide, and there were no trees, and it was all in the sun. You know, it's probably in the 80, 85 that day. But it was pretty warm. The guy's side is about from here over there, about 30 yards. It's about that wide. But it's got all kinds of shade. It's got trees. I mean, it's got, you know, it's pretty good shape. Or maybe there's no trees. But what was cool, our guy says, I got to show you this. You don't see it on TV. I said, well, what's that? When you walk all the way up next to the wall on the men's side, if you turn and look, there's a set of double doors you can't see on TV. It looks just like that door right there. There's two of them. And I go, what's that? He goes, that's the air conditioned part. That's the air conditioned part. You go in there, and I don't know what they were drinking, but I suspect they had iced tea. They had those electric recliners. And I'm thinking prayer has gone to a whole nother level for me. I mean, it's just pretty incredible. But that's the wall that they were talking about. That's the temple that was destroyed. And we find ourselves here in Hebrews. So what's the big point of Hebrews? It's that Christ exceeds everything. Christ exceeds all, exceeds everything. So let's talk about a couple of things. First, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, of things we do not see. It's not wishful thinking, it's an assurance that what God has promised will come to pass. It's a deep confidence, trust in his character and his word, even when we can't see the outcomes. You know, one of the hard parts of being in ministry, I grew up in the Houston area, and I was a residential electrician for many years. And you can wire a house in five steps if you know the five steps. I could teach anybody in this room how to wire a house. Now, I can't teach you how to do it and not burn it down. That's another story. But I can teach you the five steps that you've got to follow. And if you do those, at the end of the day, you'll have the house wired and it'll be ready for them to hang sheetrock, five steps. And so oftentimes with electrical work, you would do that, you'd sign off on it, you go, okay, let's go to the next house. And so it's just one right after the other. And in those days, sometimes we were doing two, three houses in a day, you know, 1,200, 1,500 square foot house. But with ministry, well, it's not like that. I mean, it's not like, well, I prayed with that person, they accepted Jesus, their life's better already. No, it's not like that. You know, and when I first started in the ministry, I thought, this is going to be easy. It ain't like that. I mean, I was working with a bunch of high school kids, and I thought, yeah, I got their lives right on the straight and narrow. Yeah, that wasn't the case. That was not the case. Sometimes it was years later when someone would go, well, you remember when you said this 27 years ago? No. Okay, was it good? I take credit for it. But ministry's just not like that. It's not like this little cutout thing. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. So what are some things we hope for? We hope for eternal life, don't we? Yeah, we put our faith and trust in Jesus because he's going to give us eternal life when we pass from this place. Now, that doesn't mean that we want it right now, but we have this faith and this hope in Jesus Christ. We also have this faith in him and his resurrection, that it literally took place, that it literally happened. We had a chance to go and stand in the tomb there in Jerusalem. It's a little bit like going on a Disneyland trip because you get in line and you go like this. You know, for about 2 hours, you go in a circle around the tomb. And then you get ready, and finally you get a chance to go inside. And when Julie and I got our chance to go inside that morning, the lights from the window shone right inside of the tomb. And, I mean, the hair was already up on my neck. And I was like, and we go in there, and you're in there for about 20 or 30 seconds, and you put your hands on that place, and you're like, this is it. This is it. And then you're out. I mean, it's just, there's nothing that can describe that. We have faith in this resurrection. We have faith in God's promises and in God's provision. We have faith that God is going to make all things right. Amen. I know I'm not supposed to have a list, but I'm like, God, you going to do these five things? You know, when I get to heaven, I'm like, God, here's not five things or six things. I know you're going to make things right. We also have faith that God will help us grow in our faith, that God will help us be transformed. And then we also have faith that one day Christ will return. Amen. And all things will be new. And he will come back. We have faith that he will answer our prayers, that we'll pray, and he will respond, and we will understand that he ultimately is in charge. Amen? What's it like to have a little faith? If you have faith just the size of a mustard seed, that's not very much. And sometimes I think I want to cut that mustard seed in half and go, I only got that much. Or I rubbed it on something, that's all I got was just a little bit. But we got to have faith. Not long ago, my oldest daughter had her car broke down. Jessica has this, she has a 2023 Kia, and it's only got like 18 or 20,000 miles on it. And she calls me one day and she said, Dad, something's wrong with my car. I said, what could be wrong with your car? I mean, you know, it's not very old. She said, well, you know, you always tell me to do the right thing, and I was trying to do the right thing, and something bad happened. And I said, well, that's not how that always works, but sometimes it can. She said, some guys were working in my house, and I decided to go get them some donuts. And leaving the donut shop, I went through a hole and knocked the oil pan off the bottom of my car. And I'm sitting on the side of the road, and it's raining. The battery has stopped. The wind is down, and I'm getting wet. I don't know what to do. I said, it's going to be okay. I said, I'm a dad. I'm up here. I can't do much. I said, but you know what? I think we ought to pray about this. Now, one of the most difficult conversations I think people in life have is having those faith conversations with your kids. Because they know who you are. Oh, yeah, you just said that because you're a preacher. No, I think we ought to pray. We ought to pray. So she goes, okay. I said, well, let's just pray. Dear Lord, whatever happens, we need a miracle in Jessica's life right now. We just need a miracle. Amen. She's like, amen, amen. I said, it's going to be okay. God's in charge. He got this. She goes, I don't know. I said, you got an umbrella in the car? And she said, yeah. I said, go get the umbrella. Put it up. Let's stop the rain from coming in the car. And I said, have you contacted the garage to look at your car? Yes, they're coming to get it. So they come to pick it up. And she said, and they'll give me a ride home. And I said, well, worry about tomorrow. Go to sleep. It's going to be fine. Have a little faith. She goes, it's easy for you to say. I go, let's just pray about it. So she gets the car to the dealership, to the guy to work on it. And his first initial look, he says, well, y'all got problems. And I said, what? And he goes, if it's an oil pan, that car is so new, they don't make them. I said, what do you mean they don't make them? He goes, they haven't started producing them. I said, well, they're going to have to go get one off another car before they ever put it on that car and bring us one. He goes, well, those newer cars, they're made out of some heavy-duty plastic, and if it gets knocked off, it's just, you're done. I said, oh, that's not good. That's not good. I'm not saying nothing to my daughter about that. And so he says, but let me get it up in the morning, and let me see what I'm working with. And I said, okay. And I remember, Lord, we need a miracle. So he calls me the next day, and he said, you sitting down? I said, oh, no. He said, it's fine. I said, what do you mean it's fine? He goes, they just knocked the oil plug loose. I was like, who? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just got the oil plug. Yeah, yeah. And he said, better than that, it was the people that changed the oil a few days ago that didn't put it in correctly. I was like, wow. And he said, and you need to go back there, tell them to give your money back. I said, okay. So I called my daughter and I said, remember that miracle we've been praying about? God doubled it. She said, he doubled. I said, yeah. I said, it was the oil changing folks' fault. And you go back there and you tell them they need to give you your money back for the oil change because they didn't put it in correctly. I don't know if I can do that. I said, you can do that. And you're going to go do that because God said he's in charge. So she calls me like a couple of days later and she said, I got the check. It's like $100 and something. And I said, see, you got a miracle straight from God. She goes, I said, you need to tell people about this miracle that you have. And she said, okay, okay, okay. I said, you got to have a little faith. Every now and then, just a little bit. Secondly, faith is pleasing to God. You know, the scripture says, how can you please God if you don't have any faith? Hebrews 11, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who seek after him. Abraham's life is a model. In Hebrews 11:8, Abraham's faith in God's promise to give him a new land demonstrated his belief in God's faithfulness. Though he didn't see the fulfillment, his faith pleased God. To please God, we must live with a mindset that he is both present and faithful still today. Amen? Even when we cannot see his actions. Scripture highlights many things that are pleasing to God. And it says, having faith is pleasing to God. Faith is having trust in God from Hebrews chapter 11. Faith is being obedient to his commands from 1 Samuel. He says, obedience over sacrifice. Following God's word demonstrates love for him from John chapter 14. Faith is having a humble and a contrite heart. Living a life full of humility, he says. Living a life full of humility. Faith means bringing worship and praise. When we come before God and we sing and we worship and we praise, God just smiles. Amen? Because worship is being faithful to what God has called us to do. It is pleasing to God. Faith means having love and compassion for the world around us. Loving others, as Matthew 22 says. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. All the laws and the writings of the prophets depend on these two commands. Amen? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love the Lord for all the laws and the prophets depend on these two commands. That's what he says. Love others. Faith also means being generous. Having faith means being generous. You know, it's real difficult to receive a present like this. Try it sometime when somebody wants to give you a birthday present. Oh, I'm so glad you're going to give that to me. It doesn't work like that, does it? No, it's when you go like this. It's when we receive. And God wants to give us great gifts and great things. But it also means when we do this, we also give of ourselves. We give and we're generous. You know, when I get to the end of life, I want my family to gather around and say, here lies Gary Bowles. He was generous. I mean, that's how we live out the scripture. We have a little faith. Faith also means sharing the gospel. One of the reasons we're doing the Alpha course is because it's a chance for you to bring someone to help them learn about Jesus Christ and to extend your faith and to share your faith. Faith is a powerful thing. Have a little faith. And then thirdly, faith leads to action. It leads to action, not inaction. But when we exercise our faith, action begins to happen. Hebrews 11 emphasized that our faith is not passive, but it is active. It is moving. It is growing. It is happening. Our faith is being called into action. Faith is the foundation of action. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith motivates us to be obedient. Abraham was obedient. Noah was obedient, and Noah prepared. Moses prepared. Faith calls us to be in action. When we gather in church on Sunday, do we not gather in the presence of the saints who've gone before us, whose faith was action? I mean, it's kind of hard to go on a mission trip and be inactive, right? I mean, that's why we want people to go on mission trips, because now you're putting your faith into action. And something always happens to the one who attends a mission trip on the inside. It's an active faith. It's an active faith. Faith seeks God's approval. Faith acts on God's promises. It is this active, living faith. And when people see you, they should go, man, what is it about your life? What is it about your active faith that I want to know more about? Because faith is about things we can't see, but things God is doing. Faith is having that assurance. Faith is pleasing to God. But above all, faith is putting our life into action. Put it into action. Taking steps. You know, one of the things that I think I got another picture you could put up. For the longest time, I always struggled flying on an airplane. It just made me nervous, and it made me scared a little bit. And I remember one time I flew out to Asbury to do some stuff out there, and we were getting on the plane there in Lexington to come home, and we're sitting in the airport. And the guy says the announcement, he goes, attention, ladies and gentlemen, for those of you who are fixing to board the plane, don't worry about the crash that happened last week. We have got it all cleaned up, and everything is under control. You have a safe flight. God bless you. The what? Did he say the wreck that happened last week? I said something to somebody in the airport. He goes, yeah, don't worry about that. He said, they got it cleaned up. He said, evidently, a plane went off the end of the runway down there, and there's a cavern, and it just didn't get up. And it just, he said, but you'll see a little smoke when you go over it, but it's not that big a deal. He said, we hadn't had any more since then. It, batting 100%. Anyway, I always would get nervous, and so in my mind, I'm thinking, I'm going to get on the plane, we get in the middle by the door if I had to open it, and I'm going to sit all the way against the wall. And so I get in and I sit down and I say this, Holy Mother Mary, God, I got to have a prayer. Lord, I hope I can get through this. And I close my eyes. I try to put my headphones on and just hope everything turns out all right. Well, one day I was getting on the plane and I saw this lady and her young kid coming down the aisle. And the little girl is just having a great time. And I'm like, please don't sit by me. Please don't sit by me. Sits right there. The mother sits right there. I thought, oh, this is not going to work. This is not going to work. And I'm nervous. And she's just having a blast. I mean, she's just having a great time. And I said, what's your name? She said, Mister, are you okay? And I said, yeah. She goes, well, you don't look okay. And I mean, I had sweat coming down my head. I just didn't fly very well in those days. And she looks at me and she said, it's not that big a deal. And I was like, not to you, but it is to me. I want to live a little longer. She said, it's not that big a deal. It's just like going to the fair and riding on one of them rides. I said, well, yeah, not really. She goes, yeah, it's just like that. And she says, all you do is when it takes off, you just hold your hands up and go, yeah. And she says, yeah, yeah, yeah. She said, it's fine, it's fine. I said, I think I'm getting nauseous just thinking about it. I don't know. She goes, it'll be okay. She said, you got to have a little faith. I go, oh, God. So she goes, okay, I'll hold your hand. And so she holds my hand, and we take off. And she goes, now, when I say go, you put your hands up. And I said, okay. And she said, go. And I went, she goes, see? Yeah. She goes, you can put them down now. She goes, now take a deep breath. You're okay. She said, see, it's just like riding. And then by that time, the plane does a couple of things. She goes, just hang on. We'll get there. And then right before we land, we're going to do it again. And I said, okay. And so we get ready to land, and we put our hands up, and she goes, see, I told you it was nothing. You just got to have a little faith. I was like, yeah, yeah. Well, still to this day, when I get on the airplane and sit on the inside seat, in my mind, I'm going, yeah, I can do it. I got a little faith. And then I put my hands down. Because this message is to me as well. Sometimes I need to be challenged in my life. Am I really exercising my faith? You know, if I have just the, you know, Jesus says just the amount of a mustard seed. Next time you're at HEB, go by there and say, I want to get some mustard seeds and look at them. They're not very big. You can barely see them. They're almost like banana seeds. They're just not very big. But God says, if you have just that much, you can tell this mountain to jump into that ocean. What does it look like in your life this week? Maybe you're in a place where you haven't exercised your faith in a while. Maybe you need to take a small step out of the boat and say, Lord, I just need to exercise my faith. Where do you find yourself today, January 2025? What is God calling you to do in your faith? Would you stand at this time and bow your heads and let me pray for you? Father, as we come to sing our last song, we pray that you stir up in each of us and move in each of us and challenge each of us to step out in our faith. Father, be with us this day. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Ready? Now we receive this morning's benediction. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace as you go from this place. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we all pray. And together all God's people said, Amen. Amen. May you go in peace. God bless you.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.